الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لم يسأل الله يغضب عليه. وقال في رواية: الدعاء هو الإبادة. قال في رواية: الدعاء مخ الإبادة. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and sent us into this dunya in such a state that we are needy and dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment and every second of our lives. In every need and every requirement, we are dependent upon the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one verse tells us, Ya ayyuhan nas antumul faqara'u ila Allah wallahu wal ghaniyul hamid. O mankind, you are needy. You are needy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faqir, the word faqir is used. What do we know what faqir means? Yeah, it means the person that's needy, dependent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely free of want and need and is completely praiseworthy. So in every single need of ours, every single condition of ours, and every single position of ours, we are dependent and needy for the grace and fadl and bounty and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our position, every single human being, irrespective of what his social status may be. He may be a ruler, he may be a king, for entire country, big kingdom he has, but he is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a faqir, a needy person, and dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single need of his. Our respected Shaykh Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah should mention a very strange thing. We should say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only made us faqir, but he has given every single person a begging bowl as well. He has given him a begging bowl as well that he can beg before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we are talking about, this bowl of ours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every single human being that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not for one hand, but with both the hands. And he says, in my opinion, this punishment that is given to a person that steals is because he has not used his begging bowl before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he has taken away some person's wealth unjustly. So the punishment of that, he has abused this bowl or he has not used this bowl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And he has not asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he has stolen the wealth of some other person. So as a punishment for him, his hand has to be cut off. Something that never comes to the mind, something you don't find in the books. Here, the awliya Allah, the great saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inspired with such inner meanings that we can't imagine. And how true is it that a person is very haughty, he's very proud of his position, etc. But before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not beg with one hand, he has to take out both his hands and beg before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sunnat method, and this is the proper method, and the ideal method to ask dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us all needy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put numerous needs in one and the same time, from the time of birth, right up to the time when you leave this dunya, that there are so many things that you require, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are such that there is nothing that is short in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing or no type of thing or no need that we can say we cannot place before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the human beings and a person wishes to ask somebody for something, if it's financial, then he sizes him up as far as his bank balance is concerned, how he looks and what his habits, etc. are. He won't go and ask a person who is earning a meager 300 rand or 3,000 rand for a loan of 100,000. He will size him up before he goes to him. And similarly, whatever need he has from whatever person, then he will look into the means first. He will look according to the means that person has and ask from him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a treasure of, has a treasure of everything. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنَّنَا خَزَائِنُ. There's nothing but we have the treasures of everything. The treasures of everything in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is our health, whether it is our wealth, whether it is our peace of mind, whether it is the children we require, whether it is the safety or security that we require, whether it is shifa that we require. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are completely full of everything. So there is no need for a person to be reluctant or to be hesitant when it comes to asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single need, even those needs that seem so impossible, So those needs that seem outwardly impossible as far as the means are concerned, it is not impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Allah ta'ala tells us that if the first amongst you and the last amongst you and the insan amongst you and the jinnat amongst you all get together in one plane and ask for whatever you wish and whatever you desire, and I fulfill the desires of each one of you, then this will not decrease in my kingdom and my treasures, but like the needle that's put into a water and is taken out. Otherwise, that little bit of moisture that comes into the needle, this also ulama mentioned, is just to give an example for us. In fact, even that amount doesn't decrease. That wetness and moisture we see, how much does it decrease from the water? Hardly anything. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are such that if it fulfills the needs of every single person, an insan and jinnat, right from the beginning, right up to the ending, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills the wishes of every person, whatever he asks for, without looking at the whatever he asks for, whatever he asks for, a person asks for the entire world, a person asks for those things that you cannot even imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my treasures are not depleted and not decreased in the least. So this is the mighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we ask for and we ask to ask for. And we should not look at the means. What happens today, unfortunately, a person looks at his means. You ask a person, for example, these are the days of Hajj. The person has the means of going, has the desire to go for Hajj. You ask him, are you going for Hajj? He says, no, I'm not going because I do not have the money. I do not have the money to go for Hajj. As if money takes a person for Hajj. So many people with tons of money did not reach the Baytullah. So many people with tons of money did not reach the Baytullah. And those people, reminds me, I don't intend to say this, reminds me, somebody had told us that Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had one rupee in his pocket, and he told the people, I'm going for Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him for Hajj. To show that you can go for Hajj with even one rupee in your pocket, provided you have that conviction, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes you even without wealth. There was one person last year who went for Hajj, and he came back and said, my Hajj cost me only 15 riyals. 15 riyals for the entire Hajj, yes. He was here in this country, and some people had taken his name and given his name to some organization there, and then those people had called him. And he says, while I performed Hajj, everything was sponsored from A to Z. But on one occasion, my champal broke, and I bought one champal for 15 riyals. This is what it cost me to perform my Hajj. We were very astonished and surprised. Another person said even further. He says that I not only cost me nothing, but I came back with so many things. He was picked, his name was chosen with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was called. And his Hajj was entire Hajj was sponsored. And thereafter, he was given gifts to come back with, and he had come back in that manner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are subject to means. There were two ways, in fact, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these needs and requirements, and there are two ways of fulfilling them. One is to adopt the means. Adopt the means, a person is feeling hungry, he eats food, obviously, he feels satiated and satisfied. Person is sick, he goes to the doctor, he gets some. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the means. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control of the means. That is why the means do not work. I take one medication and you take one medication, it works for me, it doesn't work for you. If it was in the medication, why is it not working for me? And why is it working for you? Why? Because it is in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The medication is the outward means. So one is this outward means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and we are told to adopt this means as well. Not that we remain or we are in such a state that we abandon all the means only. No, we are told to adopt the means. But our full conviction should be upon the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When my Allah is wishing, then cure will come down for me. If my Allah is wishing, then despite the means not being there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill my need. Despite the needs or the asbab being against me, the means, everything is against me, then also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill my needs and fulfill my requirements as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. And we find so many occasions, even now currently, where people say that there was no outward means, but I have supplicated before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pleaded before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I persisted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't know how it happened, but it just happened. It happened because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it to happen. So one is those means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given here in the dunya that we are told to adopt. But those means are very restricted. Very, very restricted these means are. And these means sometimes are failing also. A person adopts those means, but if they are empty, if the permission of Allah is not there, then a person fails. No matter how much means he has, but if the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, then this person's needs are not fulfilled. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us something else and given it to every person. Every mu'min and every believer especially has this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And if you look at the description of this means, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us one hadith, silahul mu'min. It is the weapon of the believer. It's a weapon of the believer. A weapon is used when a person is attacked. A weapon is used to defend himself. Surah Al-Assam tells us, and that is dua. Dua is such a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that is unrestricted. It is not limited to the means that we have. As I mentioned, if a person says sometime earnestly and makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full conviction, then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his duas even without the means not being there. But unfortunately, what happens today, we are overawed because we live and we have to adopt this means, we are overawed by the means. A person is already despondent before he starts. Why, when you go for Hajj, I can't go for Hajj because I do not have the money. He's already despondent. He has no hope whatsoever in going. Why? Because he does not have the means. So much dependent on the means that we have no. Remind me of another person that you were sitting and making dua in one corner of Pakistan, and he was making dua to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened to him? Certain person sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream. And that person is instructed to go up to that place and to give that person the means and provisions to go out in the path of Allah. It is mentioned that he sees that dream again, he delays, and he sees the dream again, and he goes back, and he comes to that locality and asks for that person, where is certain person? He says, that person is most of the time in the masjid, and he goes to the masjid, he sees that person still sitting and engaged in dua. Who is it that put it in the heart of that person that he must come here all the way, and this person didn't have to go out and stretch his hands, but all the way from wherever he was, to come to that person, search for that person, look for that person, and fulfill his need. This is the power of dua, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should remember the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to the means that we know of. It's not even against the means. The person has, yeah, the conditions are such that they are adverse and there seems no particular way of that person's needs being fulfilled. Then also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills those means. Allah ta'ala fulfills those needs. And we find if you look in the annals of history, there are hundreds and thousands of incidents of people that turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they put their full faith upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their needs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled their needs irrespective of how difficult the circumstances were. Well, Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi writes one place that there are a lot of shortcomings in regard to dua. Firstly, we do not resort to dua under normal circumstances. Normally a person comes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I see very often, but he hardly lifts up his hands and he's rushing away, going away, thinking his needs will only be fulfilled by his efforts. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fulfiller of our needs. As I mentioned, we are told to adopt the means, but place our faith on the musabbibul asbab, place our faith in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, firstly, we are not inclined towards making dua. We're not inclined towards making dua under ordinary circumstances. A person is not sick, he has a job, he has a wife and children, etc. Ma'azallah, he feels what the need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under ordinary and normal circumstances. Then when there are dire circumstances, difficulty and hardship that comes to us, we turn towards dua. And then we turn towards dua also, we don't adopt the right method of dua. Those duas that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the Holy Quran, in the verses of the Holy Quran, and in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not adopt those verses or those words in our duas. Mostly what a person does, he asks for a wazifa and he reads the wazifa. What dua should I read? In the form of a wazifa, obviously there's also supplicating Allah, but there's nothing more effective than dua in completing our needs, etc. Thirdly, it's mentioned that when he makes dua also, then he does not make dua with earnest and with inclination. He's not inclined to the dua. He's not inclined towards the dua and he does not make dua in earnest. Dua in earnest we should see and learn from the little child or the person that taps your door or comes to your vehicle at the time when you stop at the robot. What happens today, we find it commonly in our areas, also in our country, also in our towns, also, where the person comes and persistently is pleading before you and is sometimes putting up a show before you and is imitating a person that's completely weak and a person that's completely needy and destitute and dependent and is begging before you. This is how a person should make dua, in earnestly turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleading before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, persisting upon his need before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when Tanwi rahmatullahi writes that a person does not have that conviction when he makes the dua. Does not have that conviction when he makes the dua. Whereas in the hadith we are told that we should make a dua in such a condition, وَأَنْتُمْ مُوْقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَ, that we have the complete conviction and yakin that definitely my dua is going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what's supposed to be happening in our du'as. That is why we make the du'as half-heartedly. We make the du'as with not full attention. We make the du'as not with a full conviction before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, when Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi writes that when we make the du'a, then we hasten for the acceptance of the du'a. We make a du'a and we feel immediately the du'a must be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned in the hadith, that a person's dua is accepted as long as he does not hasten to making dua. And hastening for dua is this, that a person makes dua, and he makes dua, and he makes dua, and then he says, my duas were not accepted, then he leaves out the dua. This is hasting the dua, then the dua is not accepted. Whereas if you look at the light of the hadith, every single dua of a person, of a mu'min, is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way of accepting the dua is different. But here we find that these are the shortcomings when it comes to asking before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we do not turn towards that firstly, secondly we do not do it in a proper manner, thirdly we do not do it with earnest, and fourthly we do not do it with conviction, and fifthly we hasten when you come to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that I made dua now and before I can reach my home or my shop, my dua will be immediately accepted. This is not impossible, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the dua immediately, or does not give, accept dua is accepted immediately, but does not grant that person what he has asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another aspect of dua is this, the dua is not only to fulfill our needs, not only to fulfill our needs, but it is so strange when a person keeps asking a human being, what happens? Person fulfills your need once or twice or three or four or five times or 10 or 12 times, then that person becomes irritated. Then that person becomes restless. Then that person becomes impatient. And he tells you words that you can imagine for yourself, that I'm the only person. Well, did I take up this teka that I must fulfill all your needs at all times, go to somebody else, etc. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not the way. That is not the way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for who? Are for you and me. These treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the treasures of everything, but at the same time, He is ghaniyun hamid, completely free from need and want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't require whatever He has in the treasures, it's for me and you. And the person that is persistent in his dua and keeps asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's a ta'alluq and there's a contact with him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he keeps asking only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the difference when asking a human being and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is persistent and continuously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens? Then there's a ta'alluq between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a ta'alluq between him and there's a relationship between him that is created between him and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that person that asks from him. That person does not ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Not like the human being who keeps asking, that person becomes angry and annoyed. But yeah, in the hadith, Rasulullah tells us, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. That person that doesn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commentators explain, doesn't ask because he's arrogant and proud, and he feels I'm not in need, etc. Doesn't ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes displeased with that person. Why? Because the banda is that person, or the servant is that person that asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single need of his. Then we are not in a proper sense of the bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we don't keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single need. This is what we learn from a little child. Some ulama mentioned that asking we should learn from a little child. Whatever the need is, he keeps turning to his mother or his father. Whatever need he has, he keeps asking. And the tantrums he puts up, you know, all those that have children know what happens when a person doesn't get what he's asking for, begins to cry, knock his head on the wall, etc., doesn't eat, etc. The tantrums, why? He is persistent that he wants that item. And whatever he needs, he turns towards his mother or he turns towards his father, whatever he requires. So this should be the position of a mu'min, that whatever his needs are and his tantrums are not knocking the wall, etc., is being persistent in his dua, shedding tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insisting in begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever he is asking. Secondly, we find when a person keeps making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeps asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this becomes a means, as I mentioned, firstly, that our bond is strengthened with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, this is a great ibadat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that dua mukhul ibadah. This is the essence of ibadat. This is the core of ibadat, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the dua, huwal ibadah. Some riwayats is mentioned that dua, prayer itself, this in itself is ibadat, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever happens, as far as the result of the dua is concerned, is a secondary issue. This is an ibadah the person is engaging in. When every moment he's sitting in dua, then he's getting sawab. Because though he's asking for something that's of a worldly nature, but he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that makes it an ibadah. And he's asking in the proper manner, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, that ask of me and I will accept. قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Ask me and I will respond. He is complying with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an ibadat. For every moment that a person spends in dua, then he gets reward, and this is ibadat. Thirdly, we find that it's the means of fulfillment of our needs. As I mentioned, whatever needs we put before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills our needs in different ways. So it's also a means of fulfilling our needs, whether those needs are deeny needs, spiritual needs, or whether they are physical needs, or whether they are material needs, whatever needs they are, we present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills our needs. Together with that, the means that we have adopted, after adopting the means, when you supplicate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this creates barakat in those means. Whatever the means are, as I mentioned, outwardly a person is going for Hajj, he books his ticket, etc., he has enough money to go, and he takes all the other requirements, and together with that, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates barakat and blesses those means. Sometimes the person's means are very meager, and they're hardly anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates strength and strengthens those means. That with those little meager needs, etc., little meager means that he has adopted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that his need is fulfilled, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills whatever he wishes to do with those little means that he had that seemed to be so little and insignificant, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes intizam, and that person goes. Fifth, sixthly, we find that when a person makes dua, one great benefit of dua is this, that immediately a person is relieved. Immediately a person is relieved when he puts his petition and he puts his request before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how mighty, no matter how big and how but no matter how big the problem is, what magnitude it is, but when he pulls out his heart, hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sincerely asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the moment he says, Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen, he already feels the effect of the dua in the heart. That burden has already gone lightened. Because why? I have petitioned and I have invoked and I have supplicated before him who is in charge of everything, who has the means of everything. And a person naturally, automatically, and immediately feels the relief in his heart when he makes dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that need will be fulfilled after thereafter or not, it becomes a secondary issue. The great benefit he gets here immediately when he rubs his hands over his face, that I have now, he feels completely relieved that I have taken this matter and I have put it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This everybody feels when you talk about worldly matters. A person speaks to somebody who's in charge of the department. He speaks to the specialist, I have told him. He speaks to somebody that he knows, I have a contact there. He speaks to him. Person relax and says, no, that person is handling it and he has a lot of power. Can there be anyone more that has power than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has more control than anything? And of everything like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never. But the thing is, we lack in our yaqeen. That is why sometimes we don't feel that satisfaction and that contentment after lifting up our hands. Thereafter, we also find that this is the means where pride leaves us and arrogance leaves us when we beg before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person feels that he is very great because every need of his is put before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills every single need of us. So it's also a means of taking away pride when we turn before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why one great quality or one great etiquette of pride is this, that we should be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should humiliate ourselves. We should be aware of our inability, our weaknesses, and how useless we are, and how we have nothing in our power when we're making dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufya. Tadarru'a means you should be humble and you should acknowledge your weakness and your inability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person acknowledges his inability and his weakness, then what is there to be proud of? What is there to be proud of when a person is so weak that nothing, absolutely nothing is in our control? Even these bodies are not in our control. Absolutely nothing is in our control. Then even pride goes away and leaves this person. Inshallah, we'll continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.